John, the Gospel of John, chapter 21. What time is Wednesday night service?
9.
Okay. Let me see if y'all could chew gum and talk at the same time. I am going to continue teaching you. In fact, I've been teaching you all this month of December, except for our Christmas days, about the mark of a disciple. How many of you want to be a disciple of the Lord? Amen. The text that I begin the message with is in John chapter 8, 31 and 32. You don't have to turn there, but it talks about if you continue in the Word of God, Jesus said, you will be my disciples, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will set us free. But again, it has that word if on there because a disciple is someone that continues or lives in the Word of God. A disciple is someone who is committed. Not all Christians are disciples. Not all Christians are committed to the Lord. I'm going to talk real slow so y'all can get it. I said there is a difference between, even though they were believers, they were not all disciples. A disciple is someone that's committed to serve God and to obey what God has said in His Word. And today I'm going to kind of use this as a springboard to what we're going to talk about in the month of January, because I've received something from the Lord that I believe is going to be a tremendous blessing in your life as you allow the Holy Spirit to show you these things. Now, we're going to talk about the words of Jesus. And the words of Jesus is the Master talking. I'm not the Master. I said Master Jesus. How many of you have a red letter edition of the Bible? And when you open up the Gospels, how many know the red letters are Jesus speaking? And if Jesus is speaking, how many know it'd be a great idea to understand and know what He's saying? Okay. Just want to make sure we're together. Now in John chapter 15, John chapter 21, verse 15. Jesus has appeared to His disciples, say disciples, for the third time. And here's what He says. Right after the resurrection, it says, so when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? Now what did He say? Do you love me than more than these? Now, the these there could be the disciples. Do you love me? Jesus saying to Peter, do you love me more than you love the other disciples? He could have been saying, do you love me more than mother, father, sister, brother, houses, lands, things? He said to Peter, do you love me? Now here's the issue. Do we love Jesus? He said to him, now here's Peter answering, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And He said to him, now what did Jesus say? Red letters. Feed my lambs. Well, here's the second time. Say second time. Now, let me just stop there and say this to you. How many know that just saying that we love Jesus does not mean that we love Jesus? Let me go over here. How many know it's not about just saying that we love Jesus? Amen. Almost every body that you know, almost every Christian you know, will say those words, I love Jesus. Well, He went to Peter the second time. What did he say in verse 16? He said to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, tend my sheep. So, is saying you love the Lord the final evidence that you love the Lord? No. Everybody say, let me ask it again. Is saying that you love the Lord, is that proof? Is that evidence that you really love the Lord Jesus Christ? Okay. We're talking about now disciples. We're talking about those that hear and understand the Word of God. Because now he's going to say it to him the third time. Look what he says. He said to him, how many times? Okay. How many know? Now don't read this religiously. But here's Jesus, now the Master, red letters. Put yourself in Peter's shoes just a moment. What if Jesus walked up to you and said, Marvin, do you love me? Richard, do you love me? Basilio, do you love me? Angel, do you love me? Betty, do you love me? Now, here's Peter. Peter's saying, Lord, you know I love you. Jesus said, do you love me the second time? Lord, I love you. Boscatini, what's the matter? I love you. But then the third time, Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? And Peter's going, duh. I've already said it twice. Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? Now, that's starting to irritate him because now he'd already said, yes, I love you. But then he changed his tune and said, well, Lord, maybe I don't. You know everything. You know all about me. Maybe I don't love you. But what did Jesus say? Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him what? Feed my sheep. So here's the issue this morning. Is, do you love Jesus? That is a big issue. Because there's a lot of people that know a lot of things about the Bible. They know a lot of Scripture. They know prophecy. They know different themes and subjects of the Bible. But they actually know very little about Jesus. Amen. And Jesus and loving Jesus is the biggest issue of all. Can somebody say amen? Amen. And you know, we live in a day where there are people who rarely talk about Jesus. There are churches that rarely talk about Jesus. They talk about a lot of different things. They talk about how to be happy, how to be successful in politics. And they talk about a lot of different things, but they don't really talk about Jesus. The central issue is, do you love Jesus? If you love Jesus, now look at verse 17 again, because he says for the third time, son of Jonah, do you love me? Well, if we love Jesus, Jesus is telling him, then do what I say. In other words, we find out right quick here that even though Jesus asked Peter three times the same question, used a little bit different word for love, but the bottom line was, is that Peter was getting irritated. And Peter said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. But see, the big issue is not you saying that you love Jesus with your words, but doing what Jesus said do by his word. Amen. Now turn back with me to John chapter 14. We left off here last time. The love of God is demonstrated in our life by doing what He says. John chapter 14, verse 21. It says here, "He who has my commandments and keeps them is he who loves me." Now, right here, Jesus makes a statement and tells us who loves him. You don't even need a fancy preacher to interpret that, do you? You don't need a concordance. You don't need computer software. All you have to do is read what Jesus said. "He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself," or "I will reveal myself to him." Now, when we talk about manifest, we're talking about revealing. We're talking about keeping the word, our reverence, our making the word preeminent, our high esteem, the word in our life. And it says, if we do that, Jesus will reveal himself to you and I. Now, stop and think about it. To reveal Jesus, Jesus is not interested in walking up, you know, in your bedroom someday and say, "Hi, I'm Jesus." It's not going to do us any good to see a physical Jesus right now. But what is going to do you very good is that the Word of God, who is Jesus, manifests himself in your life. Is it not true that we live in a day, we live in a society, I just told you a few things about it a while ago, where a lot of people, many people, do not even recognize Jesus. They have no idea of what the Word of God means. The only thing they know about Jesus, if they know anything at all, is probably from some historical account or some thing they watched on National Geographic High Definition, or something that somebody has told them about Jesus. But we live in a time where Jesus is not real to so many people. But you know what? He's not real to a lot of people that sit in church. Amen. He is not real to a lot of people. There's people that Jesus is so real that he's as real as the air that you breathe. Hallelujah. Then there's others, they don't have any concept of who Jesus is. Who did Jesus say that he would manifest himself or reveal himself to? He said those that would keep, those that would esteem, those would reverence his word. How? Let me ask you this. Do you believe Jesus can be more real to you than he is right now? Amen. Oh, yeah. He can be more real to you. He can be more real to me than even he is right now to me. But I find out that the key for him to being even more real to me than he is now is still on my side of the ledger. It hinges on whether I will obey his word or keep his word. If I keep his word, he said, then he will reveal himself to me. Now, if it's up to me as to whether Jesus reveals himself to me or not, then I would most certainly make that, if I am a Christian and striving to be a disciple, would want that to be first in my life. Amen. I would want to know that the Word of God And putting preeminent on the Word of God is the most important thing I can do in order for Jesus to reveal Himself or make Himself more real to me and His Word more real to me. It is something that I can do in order for Him to reveal Himself even greater to my life.
Amen.
Now that's the message today. I want us to be able to stand in faith and have more of Jesus revealed in our life. Because if more of Jesus is revealed in your life, then more of the presence of God will be revealed in your life. And really, that's what we're talking about, is the divine presence of God being revealed in your life, into the lives of those that will keep His commandments. 2009 is going to be a year where God will unlock the power of His Word. In order for the power of God's Word to be unlocked, we're going to have to stand on the Word of God, and we are going to have to love God. But we're going to have to love God by the way Jesus said that we love God.
Amen.
Not by saying we love God. Look at verse 21 with me. It says, or no, verse 22 rather, it says, Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? How, look at the question being asked. How are we going to know you, but the rest of the world does not know you? Now we've already stated it at least twice today. Most of the world does not know Jesus. Can I hear an amen?
Amen?
Most of the world has no concept of who Jesus is and what the purpose of Jesus is for, why He even came to this earth. They make no connection between the birth and the cross and the deliverance of mankind so that they can receive the eternal gift of salvation. But we're not talking about them right now. We're talking about you. How can Jesus reveal Himself to you and me, but yet the world can't see a thing? Look at the next verse. Jesus answered. Now here's red letters again. He said, if anyone loves me. Now, this is the third time He says this. Just like when He's talking to Peter a while ago. I mean, if Jesus told you three times, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Well, Lord, I'm not sure. Show me how. Now, that's a better attitude, right? I said, isn't that a better attitude? Is to say, Lord, You know. You know everything. Show me how. You're the teacher. You're the master. I'm the student. You're the potter. I'm on the wheel. I'm the clay. Are you with me? And Jesus said, look at the verse again, 23. He says, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him, and we will make our home with him. Now, I think about just a moment the benefits of being part of a Word church that puts emphasis on the Word of God. And I say emphasis because I was not always that way. Now, I, like some of you, I grew up in and around church in a religious atmosphere setting. I went to denominational churches, went later to non-denominational churches. I even went to Pentecostal churches that believed in healing and speaking in tongues, but they did not put an emphasis or a preeminence on the Word of God. It wasn't till later, till someone introduced me to the Word of faith, faith preachers and teachers that taught us how to love the Word of God. We were never taught to love the Word of God.
Amen.
But it opened my eyes. It flooded into me a whole another realm of not just going through motions or not just, you know, being in church and being religious and just, you know, things that you hear, sermons and healings and all those things are great. But now there was a love for the Word of God by these great men of faith that I saw that they brought it to another level because the Word of God was preeminent in their life. In other words, what I'm trying to share with you this morning, when you become a disciple of the Lord, the Word of God becomes first in your life. It is to your advantage to seek out that Word and let that Word reveal Jesus to you. All of God's promises, all of God's blessing is in His Word. And if we don't put a premium or a priority or an emphasis on the Word of God, then what are we doing? What are we talking about if we're not talking about the Word of God? It's not just coming up with a, you know, a fancy sermon. It's not just coming in here and make people, you know, feel good. We like to make people feel good. I'll tell you a joke every once in a while. I'll tell you one this morning, but I really don't have time today. But listen to me. When you get to the place where you're keeping the Word of God, that means that you reference that Word, that you search that Word, you look into the Word of God, you hunger for the Word of God, you thirst for the Word of God, then Jesus said, I will reveal, or I will manifest myself to that person because that's a person that loves me. When you love the Word of God, you'll become a doer of it. Now, let me just say this before I move on. To a disciple, the Word of God is not advisory. Let me say it again. Amen. To a disciple, the Word of God is not advice. Amen. Now, what do I mean by that statement? I mean, if somebody gives you advice, you can take it or leave it. Amen. The Word of God is not advice. The Word of God is the way, the truth, the life. The Word of God is what sets you free. The Word of God is what you and I live for. But yet there's people that hear the Word, but still have not learned to accept and obey the Word. There's people that are sitting in church that still have not learned to submit themselves to the Word of God. If the Bible says we are to submit to the Word of God, then how many know there's no question about that? If the Bible says that we are to love one another, how many know that's not debatable? That's not good advice. The Word of God to a disciple is not a supplement. It's what we live. It's what we do. It's what we eat. It's what we chew on. It's what we become. You are what you eat. You don't believe it, just look around your waist. Come on, somebody. Amen. If the Bible commands you and I to walk in love, we walk in love. If the Bible commands you and I to forgive, we forgive. Amen. It's got to be that way. It's not advice. But yet people treat the Word of God like, oh, these are great sayings. This is counsel or advice. No, no, no. It is the Word of God. If you love Him, you will do it. Amen. You don't just say it. You don't just talk it. Now, perhaps, and I've heard this, oh, Pastor, it's hard to be a Christian. It's hard to do the Word. Only if you are uncommitted. Amen. Only if you are unwilling. Amen. Don't tell me it's hard to do the Word. The only way it's hard to do the Word is that you are unwilling to do it. If you're unwilling to do it, it's because you have never recognized Jesus as your master. And you don't love God. I can tell right now y'all are really going to enjoy this message. If you can't do the Word of God, you don't love Jesus.
Hallelujah.
I can't say it any simpler than that. Now, I love you, but I'm not going to stand up here and lie to you.
Amen.
I'm just telling you that if we love God according to Jesus, if we love Him, a true disciple loves the Word.
Amen.
And whatever the Word says to do is what we do. Now, here's another thing. Perhaps the biggest hindrance of being a disciple. I told you there's not a whole lot of disciples in the church.
Amen.
Probably one of the biggest hindrances to becoming a disciple is your own self.
Amen.
You know why? How many of you want to know why? Well, I'll give you the scripture. We don't have time to go there, but Luke 14. Let's put up Luke chapter 14, verse 26 and 27. Now, this is a powerful statement that Jesus made, and it's red letter. Say red letter. Jesus, in essence, said, you cannot love anybody or anything more than me. You cannot love mothers, fathers, brothers, sisters, children, grandchildren. You cannot love them more than me.
Amen.
And be my disciple. Are you with me?
Yes.
Y'all can look it up, make sure I'm not telling you a fib up here. Red letters. Say red letters. And Jesus went on to say, unless you pick up your cross and bear your cross, He said, you cannot be my disciple. Are you here?
Yes.
Just telling us if you love anybody or anything more than you love Jesus, then you cannot be His disciple. I didn't say that. That's not our church doctrine. I'm telling you what Jesus said about it. He said, you can't love somebody else more than you love Him. Because why? Because what if they say something different than what He said? What if they want you to do something different than what He said? Who's your master? Who are you going to obey? You cannot love anything, anybody, anything more than you love Jesus. See, people struggle. Well, my husband did it, or my wife. No. You haven't settled who your master is.
Amen.
You have not settled who is ultimate authority in your life. You're struggling because of your own self.
Amen.
You know, it's like, you ever been talking on telephone, somebody, and somebody else in the room starts talking to you? Anybody ever done that? Kind of annoying, isn't it? Get frustrating, especially if they're yapping, you know, they're yapping and you're... Why are you frustrated? Why does it annoy you? You know why? If you're annoyed and frustrated by that, did you know it's your own fault?
Amen.
You say it's my own fault? Yeah. If you're talking on that phone to somebody, and somebody else starts talking to you, the person who has the highest authority in your life gets the preeminence.
Amen.
And the other person gets placed on hold.
Amen.
Well, say, yeah, but Lord, I mean, oh yeah, but he is an important person. I mean, this could be... No. You got it backwards. You don't love God. Whoever has the highest authority in your life is who you listen to.
Amen.
And when you get through listening to Him, then you can call your buddy. Oh, but they might get mad at me if I hung up on them. Well, where is your... See, where? Who's your master? Who's highest preeminence? Who's the highest authority in your... Oh, yeah, but I may make a good deal, hit a good sale. Oh, but see, Jesus... You know, if you were talking on the phone to your friend and your boss came up and said, hey, I want to talk to you, you'd put that thing on hold, wouldn't you? But when somebody's trying to persuade you or to influence you or just chit-chat with you, but the most important voice you'll ever hear is the voice of the Lord your God. And you decide to put Him in hold. You decide that the person you're talking to is more important. You haven't learned who your master is yet. If you don't learn who your master is, then you cannot be a disciple. You don't love Jesus. You don't love Him. You are not giving the Word of God first place in your life. Say, but Pastor, you can't tell me I don't love Jesus. I didn't tell you. I'm saying what the Word of God said. Jesus said, unless you keep my word abides you. He said, unless you continue in my word, He said, you're not going to be a disciple. Are you with me? Okay. So, we're going to have a lot of fun here because I'm excited about 2009 and Jesus manifesting Himself and making Himself real and the presence of God infiltrating the ranks of this church so that the Spirit of God is manifest in this place. I'm not just excited because you're here. Thank God. I'm glad you're here. I'm not just excited because, you know, we can sing and we can praise God. Thank God we can sing and praise, but I am extremely excited about Him making Himself more real in my life than He's ever been before. I'm extremely excited about Him unlocking the power of His Word so that the Word of His power can work. Are y'all here this morning? Now, it's easier... And I ain't even got to this part. It's easier to pray and fast than it is to obey His Word. We're going to start a 21-day fast next Sunday. Are you ready? I said, are you ready? But you know, it's not about... I found this out too. It's not about begging God. It's not about asking God. It's not about doing all the religious stuff that gets God to show up. It's about obeying His Word. Amen. It's about putting the Word of God first in our life. Putting a preeminence. There's so much revelation that you and I can get that we can't get just in the Bible or concordance. There is so much revelation that you and I can get that doesn't come by just sitting in a church service. Amen. It comes... as you take the Word of God and begin to apply it to your life, it becomes a way of life and you begin to experience the power of that Word. And Jesus, you know what? When Jesus manifests Himself to you, that is when you are experiencing the Word of God. When you experience Jesus manifesting to you personally, that's what He meant when He said, these are the ones that will know the truth. And the truth will set them free. Free from what? Free from their bondages. Free from their fears. Free from all the things that hinder you and keep you from being a servant of the Lord. Keep you from being all that God's called you to be. You know, a lot of Christians, I say that word again very loosely, a lot of people in church know Jesus vicariously. Do you know what that word means? I say it and probably you don't know what it means. Well, it just means that a lot of people only know Jesus through what somebody else has told them. That's what it means. See, I can speak English too, plain. Hey, there's a lot of people. All they know about Jesus is what somebody has told them. Now, what if they don't tell you the right things? See, it's whatever God's Word says is what we do.
Amen.
We don't do something because somebody told us. We do it because the Word of God says we do it.
Amen.
See, when we do what God's Word says, then He will reveal Himself to us because we'll be experiencing what the Word says it will do. You're not going to experience the Word of God just getting all your information secondhand.
Amen.
Are y'all listening to me?
Amen.
The Bible says that we're not to be little children tossed to and fro and by every wind of doctrine. 1 John, how do we know who knows the Lord? Because man, you can hear a lot of stuff out there, can't you? I said you can hear a lot of preachers. You can hear a lot of things going on today. Well, here's what it says. Now you may hear some things today you've heard before in church. You said in this church, you'll hear some things, but don't take for granted because you've heard something that you know it. Don't sit there with the attitude, I've heard that before. Just like Peter. Lord, you know all things. You've asked me three times, do I love you? In essence, Jesus was just showing Peter, if you love me, you will obey me. Now his commandment was to feed the flock of God. His commandment was to teach the Word of God. Well, verse 3, 1 John chapter 2, verse 3. It says, by this, or let me back up. Now by this we know that we know Him. Talking about knowing Jesus. Who knows Jesus? How do we know if somebody knows Jesus? By how many scriptures they can rattle? By how many times they go to church a week? No. He says this. It says, if we keep His commandments. Now here's what the Amplified says. It says, and this is how we may discern daily by experience that we are coming to know Him, to perceive, to recognize, to understand, to become better acquainted with Him. If we bear mind, observe, practice His teachings, His precepts, His commands. See, how can we tell those that really know God? It's people that put into practice in their daily life to observe and to live in that Word. It's very simple, folks. People can claim to know a lot of stuff about a lot of things, but if they're struggling, listen, if they're struggling to do the Word of God, it's because they haven't come to a place where they really love Jesus. Because you hear people, you know, well, I know God forgives, but I don't know if God really loves me or not. Where'd you come up with that? Where'd you get off on that? See, if the Word tells us to do something, that's what we do.
Amen.
Disciples don't sit around and debate it.
Amen.
Disciples don't even sit around and argue it. Because your relatives are going to tell you something that don't jive.
Yes.
Now who's your master?
Jesus.
Your mother-in-law?
No.
Who is your master?
Jesus.
See, who's? Well, when something's said contrary to the Word, well, a disciple obeys the Word.
Amen.
A true disciple is not out to please people, but to please the Lord. Now here's what happens. Immature, unspiritual people are always talking about how they feel. Well, I know the word says you're supposed to forgive, but you don't know that person. Well, I know I'm supposed to give, but I don't know about this tithe thing. See, you're always, I just don't feel like praising God today. See, a disciple is not moved by his feelings. An immature Christian lives almost their entire life by their feelings. They allow their feelings and their emotions to control them. Lift up your left hand. Right hand. Lift. Say, not me. Say, I'm spirit ruled. I'm spirit minded. I'm led by the Spirit. The authority of my life, the final authority of my life, is the Word of God. Now, let me read the rest of this before I let you go. Feelings can become your master. But a true disciple says there is no more debate. Amen. We're not going to argue about this. This is what it says. But pastor, are you trying to get me to obey the Word of God and submit to the Word of God even if I don't fully understand what it's saying? Yes. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. We're talking about disciples. We're talking about forgiving by faith. We're talking about giving by faith. We're talking about loving by faith. Well, why? Look at verse 15. Because how and we'll get to that. I don't have time today. But you remember when Jesus was going to that wedding feast, the first miracle he did? Yeah, but what did his mother say? His mother said, whatever he says, just do it. And what happened? Did you ever read that account? It says that the glory of the Lord was manifest. The key to miracles is walking in obedience. The glory of God, the presence of God was manifest at that wedding because they did what the Master said do.
Amen.
You don't understand how water is going to turn into wine. Are you here? Yeah. But we'll look at that. But that's red letter. Say red letter.
Red letter.
Just do it.
Just do it.
Just do it. That's all. Just do it. Well, why do people, now let me kind of show this before we shut down here. Why do people not submit to the Lord? Why do people sitting in church not submit to the Lord? Well, here's what it says. Look at verse 15. It says, do not, I'm in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If, there's that conditional word, if anyone, say anyone, loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, do you need interpretation there? Well, now we do get sometime caught up when we use the word world because we don't know exactly what we mean by world. But we're talking about the system. We're not talking about the creation. We're talking about loving the mammon, the system, the world versus God. There's a scripture, and you can just write it down. Don't turn there. We don't have time. In 2 Timothy 4:10. And Paul was talking there to Timothy and said that Demas had forsaken him, having loved this present world. Now listen to me. Here's a man, Demas, that shadowed Paul for 3+ years. Went everywhere seeing what Paul the apostle did, doing great signs and wonders. Paul, an apostle sent by God, anointed by God to preach the gospel, to write almost 2/3 of the New Testament. But yet it says Demas decided one day, this ain't for me. I'm going to Las Vegas. I'm out of here. Now how can anybody see everything that they must have seen with the Apostle Paul, the ministry and the things that he did, and all of a sudden, one day, decide, well, this is not for me. You see, it doesn't matter what the ministry is, even back then or today, there's a natural part and there's a spiritual part. Just follow me around and look at the natural part. I guarantee you, you'll get fed up. I said, you got a natural side. You deal with the junk. You think pastors are any different? You deal with stuff all the time. Paying bills. Is this place clean? Is this wall right? Blah, 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 blah. You know. Dealing with people. Oh my goodness. There's a natural side. And you know, it's great to be in the anointing of God. It's great to be in the presence of God. It's great to be up here, you know, preaching the Word of God to you. And you're sitting there going, yeah, 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 yeah. But this man decided all of a sudden, one day, that's it. No mas, no more. No, that's it. And went back to the world. Are y'all here? Now, we will begin 25 years here next Sunday. As the apostle and pastor of this church. Now, we've had a lot of people come and a lot of people go. Can you imagine in 25 years?
Yes.
A lot of people have come by. A lot of people have just went. Now, whenever somebody leaves a church, I want you to know this. We always, if we know about it, we always examine and see if there's something we did. As a leader, you always want to know if there's something we did or somebody in the church offended somebody or what have you. You want to know so you can correct those things. You're not in the business of running people off.
Amen.
Well, I say that to say this to you is that sometimes people just leave because they are not committed to the Lord.
Amen.
Now think about it. If you're not committed to the Lord, it's because you don't love Jesus. We're not talking about being committed to the church or committed to the pastors. We're talking about committed to the Lord. And I'm going to tell you this. If somebody is not committed to the Lord, there is nothing that I can do about it.
Amen.
There is nothing I can do to make somebody love God.
Amen.
Isn't this going to be exciting?
Yes.
This is going to be exciting. Because now we're talking about who really loves the Lord. Now we're talking about what does the Word of God say? Because if I keep the Word, then Jesus is going to reveal Himself to me.
Amen.
Well, it tells you in verse 16, it says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, are a strong desire. See, what you find out after being around people for a while is that they have a stronger desire for other things other than God. I'm going to say it again. I know it's quiet, you know, but see, you find out in this church, we're not trying to crucify your flesh. We're trying to kill it.
Yes,
man. Annihilate it. Because you're not going to, you know, if somebody says, well, he preaches too long and he goes too much. Now, is it because I preach too long or is it maybe because you're more carnal?
Amen.
Let's be honest. Yeah, but who comes to church at midnight? Well, disciples do.
Amen.
Moving right along here.
Hallelujah.
Because I'm sure, hey, the Apostle Paul, we've got at least two or three accounts where he preached more than 3-hour sermons.
Praise the Lord.
One time he preached an 8-hour sermon into the night and a guy fell out the window and went to sleep. Maybe that's why Demas departed and left for the world. Well, say stronger desire. See, you've got to put that flesh down or it will have a stronger desire than God.
Amen.
You'll start yielding to family. That's why Jesus said that you can't love family. You can't love brothers, sisters. You can't love mothers, daughters, sons. You can't love them more than you do Him. He said, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, it's not of the Father, but it's of the what? And the world is what? Passing away and the strong desire of it. Now, I don't know if you can handle a message like this. Well, we'll see next week if anybody comes back. But we're not going to, you know, for 25 years, I'm not going to compromise. I'm not going to get up here and tell you how good you are when you're ugly.
Amen.
Now, I'll tell you how to get unugly.
Yes.
And how to get yourself right. But if you love God, it's not just you saying it. Because you ask people, say, well, why haven't you been to church? Well, you know. No, I don't. Well, I had this thing. No, you don't love Jesus.
Amen.
You don't love Jesus. Because Jesus said, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves as it is a habit of many.
Amen.
Well, I got so many demands on my life and I work 6 hours, and I got all these screaming children. I just got to have some peace on one day of the week anyway. You hear everything. But you're not going to have any peace outside of Jesus.
Amen.
You're not going to have any real endurance or strength outside of Jesus.
Amen.
We're going to get on a red letter expedition, I believe.
Praise the Lord.
And what we have to find out, and I'm going to close with this, I think. You have to know whether you love the Lord or not. And you have to have somebody that will show you how to love the Lord. Now, what we have to do, we got to ask ourselves three questions, okay? Whenever you read the words or the red letters of Jesus, the first question you got to ask yourself, who's talking? Who's talking? Who's saying those words? Because if Jesus is saying those words, then I must obey them. Here's the second question. Do we understand what the Lord is telling us to do? See, we have to believe God for revelation.
Amen.
We have to believe God for understanding. Faith doesn't walk by sight.
That's right. Amen.
Faith doesn't walk by feelings. That's what I've already shared with you. And then here's the third thing. You got to ask yourself, whenever you read the red letters of Jesus, who's speaking? Do I understand what's being said? Anybody know what the third one is? Am I personally doing it? And if not, why am I not? Oh, I don't love Jesus enough. Oh, okay. Be honest. You don't love Jesus. Because Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments.
Amen.
But then we have a result. What's the result of keeping the commandments, doing the commandments of Jesus? No, I just preached the whole hour to you. What is the result? He will manifest, he will reveal himself to you. You don't get this by begging for it.
No.
You don't get this by fasting for it. You get it by living it out daily.
Amen.
Oh, this is what Jesus said to do. This is how I live. This is what takes preeminence in my life. This is why you fall in love with Jesus by falling in love with His Word. Praise God. Are y'all ready to stand up? Hallelujah.